And each student goes to their guidance counselor or a teacher, and they find out what is going to be covered during those 8 weeks. They write it down and they bring along the books. So let's say in math, it will be like, you know, a trig book from page 250 to page 270 or whatever. And they have either small groups or like one-on-ones, and they cover this material. So those are the core subjects that they you know, have to cover so that they stay, you know, up to the rest of the class. Also part of the day is a lot of history. So Alexander Musk is big on history. We hope that, you know, we'll have our own teachers coming in, and it will be Torah focused, and the Teolim will also hopefully, you know, be run by people that, you know, Kirib people.
Definitely have your own teachers, or you hope you'll have your
no,
own
we're,
teachers?
No, we're working on it. If anyone has suggestions, we're happy, you know. But we're working on the teachers, and this is where you come in. This is what we're also working on. So I would love it if each of you who work with teens or with, you know, mothers of teens could, you know, write down, you know, your name and information. And whether you think that you could get together a group of kids that we can make a presentation. So, you know, I would think like at least 10, but if it's less, then please just let me know. And if there's somebody in the area, then they could come, you know, to give a presentation. And also, you know, that we could speak to them individually if it's just one or two people.
Is that a 8 to 10 weeks?
Yeah, so the initial pilot program, I'm not sure if it's going to be 6 or 8 weeks. It's either, the thing is, because of the economy, MUS is shortening their programs. I guess they see, it's not a cheap program. It's not cheap, and it's been here. I would love to give out, you know, these. This is the you know, the MUS program. Ours is going to be slightly different pricing. And we're going to start, you know.
Are you doing Teolim as well? Or
it's like part of the it's part of the program.
Is your program, yeah.
And
is it running at the same time as their program? Or
yes.
Are you going to be in their place?
Like, yes.
You're going to be in their location?
Exactly. It's in Hod HaSharon. It's going to be running along with their program. But it's going to be separate.
Is it
totally
by,
separate?
Is it split by age? Or by subject?
So mostly, in the past, it's been, I would say 10th and 11th graders, mostly 11th graders. But there's a sprinkle, like it's, you know what I mean? Like if there's a 12th grader that wants to go, that's not, you know, usually 12th graders are more like college focused or whatever, that it ends up really being more 11th or maybe 10th. But, you know, the idea is if you work, let's say with NCSY, if you have groups, if you could get together, if you think you could pull together a group, then, you know, we'll talk to parents, talk to kids. And parents, I mean, a lot, especially like the JWRP women and some of the women that get involved in your organizations, they realize that, you know, they want continuity, not just continuity, they want people to, they want their kids to be inspired. And I think that, you know, MUS is an amazing program, and it's great to tap into something that's existing. But its real drawback is that, you know, kids go, they love Israel. They, you know, they become very Zionistic, but they don't have any appreciation, they don't learn Torah, so they don't, you know, appreciate. They'll come back and they'll have a non-Jewish boyfriend, and that's been a lot of our experiences with kids that came back from the MUS program, or, you know, from any program. So, sorry. So I think that if everybody could just write down on a paper, you know, if they think that we can do a presentation by them, and please feel free to take brochures. This is the original program, and we probably will have, you know, a more detailed brochure about our, you know, Torah component.
And it's mixed, boys and girls.
It is mixed, but they're separate. I mean, they sleep separate.
Well, I would hope so.
Yeah.
But here's the question. Here's my question is, if someone has already signed up at MUS,
sorry.
If somebody's already signed up for MUS, I'm sorry, child, I'm making you nervous. If somebody's already signed up for MUS, can they transfer to this program? Will they let them
that's a good
cross
question.
Over? Okay. So you have to ask
very possibly, but I don't know for sure.
Okay, you know what? I'm going to just, because we have so many people who want to present, and it's so late. Questions for Shandell? She's here. Just ask her personally, but I want to go on to the next presentation. What? Lynn, do you want to tell us? She's going to say a few words to us about Midrashat Rachel.
Oh, that's a great question.
Okay. You know, Rachel, when it's going to run after Pesach, we hope to have a program. April, May.
Okay. Okay. Shandell's, the program Shandell's discussing is they're hoping to have a program after Pesach, April, May.
Got 5 minutes.
Okay. It's late, and everybody's been hearing a lot of different things. So I thought the most interesting way to talk about my school would be to bring you one of my students. And this is sort of impromptu, but this is Ariella Rubin. She lives in Detroit. She and her husband were at Midrashat Rachel and Baruch Noam Chappelle's, how long ago?
4 years.
4 years ago. And I'd like her to talk to you just for a minute.
We'll come back. I'm not really sure what, I haven't been here for the whole day, so I don't know what people have heard. I don't know what people are looking for, what they would like to hear. But I'll just give you like a little snippet of our story and our experience at Midrashat Rachel. And then if people want to ask Lynn questions or me questions, feel free. So my husband and I became from together. So we became observant together through the help of many people. We lived in Ann Arbor, Michigan as students. And we weren't connected at all when we were students, or even when we were graduate students. But we started going to classes at the JRC, which was run by the Jacobowitzes, who are no longer here, but we miss them dearly. And Jana Snyder was one of my teachers, which is amazing. And we didn't do like your typical track. Like we were not into the scene at like the college like campus. We weren't like into the like sororities or fraternities. We're very like counterculture kind of people.
We weren't married,
but we were a couple.
Okay, yeah.
good question. and we both like grew up Jewishly, but like totally unaffiliated at all. Like my parents are both very strong Reconstructionists. My husband's parents don't really affiliate at all. They're like kind of middle class Jewish America, very typical. That Chav scene was like, you know, like typical of like their scene and their friends. And we both like searched for a long time. Like we did yoga, we did Tai Chi, we did like the organic food thing. Like we did like lots of different things. Right. So, you know, but like just to say that the changing experience was that my husband sent out an email to everybody that he knew, like one of the changing experiences, and he said, I'm looking for something very meaningful to do with my time off. He was a high school teacher and he had a summer off. And he was thinking like yoga retreat, like meditation retreat, like cabin in the woods. And the first person that got back to him was a Kiruv camp rabbi on campus, Rabbi Eisenman. And Rabbi Eisenman said, Mudas has already started, but I can get you in. Get on a flight in 2 hours, and you can go to Mudas. And my husband had no idea what Mudas was. I had no idea what Mudas was. He wasn't my husband at the time. And he came back saying, I'm a Jew! I need to rock fillin'. I need to say Shema. And like, I was like, you are insane. Like, this is crazy. But he knew, like, he kind of knew something, and he started to say Shema. He didn't start to rock fillin', but he started to say Shema. That was like, how many years ago? 10 years? I mean, that was like a long time ago. That was like, 10 years ago or something. It took us years, years and years and years to do any other mitzvahs after that. Years. And the smartest thing that people did along the path is no one ever encouraged us beyond where we were. Like, no one ever asked me to do a mitzvah. No one ever asked me to do a mitzvah.
That was smart?
That was so smart. It was the smartest thing that was done. No one asked my husband to do a mitzvah. People would answer our questions. People would have us in their homes. People would teach us. But no one said to me, you know, you should really light candles. People would say, this is why we light candles, this is how you light candles, but no one ever said to me, like, here's the mitzvah, do it. Ever. And that was very, very smart. People showed us, like, who they were, how they were, but whatever. Anyways, fast forward, like, a number of years. I graduated graduate school in May. I had a baby in June, and we went to Israel in August. We had never lived in a Frum community before. At that point, we were Shomer, like, the big three, because we had had an Orthodox marriage, like, two years before. And for the Orthodox rabbi to marry us and for me to learn before my marriage, we had, like, agreed to, like, the big three. And we were, I would say, like, mostly Shomer Shabbos, but we didn't really know exactly what that meant. We lived in Ann Arbor. We went to an Orthodox, like, modern Orthodox minyan. But we decided that we needed to leave Ann Arbor because we knew enough to know that we had a baby. We had just had our first child, and we knew we were on that path, but we had no comfort level in terms of living in an Orthodox community. Like, we didn't know, like, what we wanted to look like. We didn't know what we wanted to raise our kids like. We didn't know, like, we didn't really know. By the way, at that point, I was, like, covering my hair and dressing tenua. Like, there were certain things we were doing, which was very interesting. We didn't totally understand why, but we were chatzi-chatzi. Like, we were kind of doing what felt right and what intuitively made sense, but we didn't have, like, a whole, like, derech planned out.
All because of an Orthodox marriage?
I mean, there's, like, a whole life, right?
Right.
But, like,
that's
I mean...
Story.
Right, I mean, like, I can talk to you later. Like, okay, so I'm sorry. So basically what I just wanted to say was that when we got to Israel, the reason we picked Midrash Rachel and Derech Hainoam was because we felt like, again, it was a place where people were not going to tell us how to be. They were going to just give us options. They were going to say, this is like the Torah, but you can choose like your own mechalf. Like, you can choose your own derech. You could choose how you want to live. You could choose how you want to apply it in your life, as long as it's Torah. And what we really wanted to know was, like, what was Torah and how could we translate that in our own lives to then, like, choose an Orthodox community and choose where we wanted to live. We also didn't know Aleph, by the way. That's, like, a whole other story. So I think I just wanted to say, just from being here for a second, that I think that, like, sending people to Israel to bridge that gap between, like, their transition in America and then figuring out, like, where they want to be in the world, like, to bridge that gap is very important. And to be in an environment where they have teachers, they have rabbin, they have people that are not going to force them into a certain way because they don't know if that way is right for them, but people that are just going to kind of guide them to follow Torah and to keep mitzvahs. And I think, I mean, I didn't speak so much about it, but I think Midrash Rachel and Derech Hainoam are very much like places like that, that allow someone to find their unique Torah-centered path with a very strong foundation of why we're all doing what we're doing. They're great.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, just, but you're over time already. Like,
okay.
Way over time.
I just want to say that all of the schools in Israel, all of the programs that you choose to send your students to are good programs. And there's a place for every student, and not every student belongs in the same place. It's your job as Kiruv professionals to come and see what the schools really are all about for yourselves. And we invite anybody to come to our school, 23 Eliezer Halevi, to see exactly how our school works. It's a very interesting blend of people who come from many different places in the Frum community who all maybe wear different hats. Some have black hats, some teachers are from Gate, some teachers are from Lakewood, and some are from Beit El and Karmei Tzur. They're from the Dati Lumi world. It's a very interesting blend that really the underlying message of our school is Avas Yisrael. That's what we're about. We not only talk about it, but we hire people from different places because that's the message we want our students to have. We believe and respect our students' ability to choose, to know that sometimes this will work for me and something will not work for me. So that's why we're a strong school, we're a firm school, we believe very much in empowering the student to make appropriate choices and to be there and hold their hand and help them throughout their path.
What is the typical age?
Because you know what, I'm going to have to ask because we really have no time left. If you have questions, grab Lynn and ask her your questions. We're going to go on to the next session. Please.